Yes, thank you, Lord. Wow, that's encouraging. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. You know, if you go back in history, all across, as far back as you can go until this very day, you have instances of people being deceived, people being duped, and instances of people getting deceived or getting duped, as you would call it. You know, there's just, you've just seen that forever. You go all the way back in history, you think of like the Trojan horse, where they had that giant horse, and then the soldiers waited inside, and they wheeled it in thinking that they had scattered the other army all far away, and the army was right inside their gates and ended up taking the city out of Troy. So you've got the Trojan horse, and you know, you think back into recent times, both politically and in religion. You think about Nixon and Watergate and Clinton and Lewinsky and countries that have gotten duped into accepting socialism. And of course, you know what the definition of socialism is according to the former Prime Minister of England. Socialism is running out, is, let's see if I remember off the top of my head, it's socialism works until you run out of other people's money, right? It works great until you run out of other people's money. And then the whole thing right now in Venezuela, it's just absolutely devastating. You look inside their supermarkets. Think about what it would be like in America to go to the supermarket and see like practically nothing on the shelves, just empty shelves. It's just been a disaster. Religiously. You think of frauds like Waco, and remember his name? What was his name in Waco? David Koresh, right? And then what was the guy in South America? Remember where they all drank the Kool-Aid? Jim Jones. That's where we get the modern phrase, what Kool-Aid you been drinking? That's where that came from, because hundreds, like upwards of 900 people committed suicide en masse. Many of them were forced to. It was awful. Because of a cult religious leader. David Koresh, Jim Jones, Charles Manson. There was one in the late 90s, his name was Marshall Applewhite. It's not as well known, but that was the one where everybody thought that the Halley-Bopp comet was going to come and take these people off the earth, the Halley-Bopp comet. Hey, by the way, how many of you are a little bit too cold today? Raise your hand. Okay, a little cold. Okay, Brother Robert, can you just bump that up just 1 degree maybe? Let's see how that works. Let's start there. Because, oh yeah, that fan's barely turning, so those are over there. But yeah, because, well, you know what, I get the brunt of that vent right there. It's just turning me into an Eskimo out here. I grew up in Eskimo land, but I've lived in Texas for 35 years, and so I lost all of that ability to enjoy the cold. All right, so we're talking, the list is endless of all these political and religious deceptions that have occurred throughout history. You could go on and on and on. Well, in the end times, in the future, if Jesus was to come today, it would only be 3.5 years away. But there are going to be two men, according to the book of Revelation, who are going to become the instruments of Satan to trick, now listen to this, to trick and to deceive not just part of the globe, but almost the entire population of the world. Two men who trick the entire world into following them and really following the enemy of God, Satan. This morning, I want to talk about how a deception of such a magnitude could be possible. How could this possibly happen where two men, one political, one religious, get the entire world to follow them like zombies? How is that possible? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And of course, for all of us that are God's people, we are always going to be on guard because Jesus and the apostles told us continually, be careful lest anyone deceive you, lest anyone dupe you and deceive you and take you out spiritually. So let's bow our heads for prayer, then we'll get right into it. The topic that I'm going to speak on today is this, when the whole world gets duped. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, use this in all of our lives. We, Lord, recognize in this modern society that we live in, Lord, that Every day, children, teens, and adults, Lord, are just completely hoodwinked by evil. They think that things will go better for them, but they end up going worse and even destroying and even killing people because of the deception of the enemy, who comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Father, please let us take it to heart about how we should stand against the deception of the enemy. And we pray it in your precious name, Lord, and for your sake. Amen. Okay. All right. I remember not too many years ago that there was a video of a lady on the evening news, and she was at a zoo, and she loved this polar bear that was there behind the bars. But unfortunately, the lady, if I'm remembering correctly, she kind of climbed over a little fence she shouldn't have climbed over and got next to the bars. You know, they have like the little fence there to hold people back. Well, she wanted to get a close-up of this polar bear. And so the dummy lady, she gets close to the bars, and the polar bear comes up to her. And, you know, he's being real nice to her for a few seconds. But all of a sudden, he grabs her. And, I mean, it's just what happens. People start jumping over the bar, and they're smacking it and taking sticks, picking up sticks and hitting the polar bear. He's got his claws dug into this woman, and it was just awful. She was very fortunate. They knocked that polar bear off of her. He got him mad enough where he got away. He got tired of getting hit by the other people. But anyway, they showed that polar bear later sitting down, and he had actually somehow, some way got a hold of one of her shoes as well and was eating her shoe. And they took her off to the hospital all ripped up. Another time, I'll never forget, there was, you know the stories like, well, for instance, that one guy down in Australia that was on TV a lot, he got bit by a stingray, he died. And, you know, he was the guy always holding the snakes, remember? What? Steve Irwin? You know, and then who else? There was this one lady, she was a zookeeper. And she, you know, was well known for being able to go out and sit with the lions and the lionesses and just, you know, stroke their hair and these gigantic, I mean, gigantic creatures. Well, same thing. One time, one of those animals, for whatever reason, they just out of the blue can turn on a person, turned on the woman, and literally bit her arm off. And when they were showing her on the news, they were showing her being carted off with an arm missing. So folks, sometimes people that have even been doing really well in different fields, they get deceived, they get tricked, they get hoodwinked, they get duped. And all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, I just told you two experts, and one was a lay person, you know, just a regular old person that went to the zoo, but two experts in their field, and yet they died. Well, one died, and the other one was, you know, without an arm the rest of her life. The same is true. These beasts that I just spoke of, the two men in Revelation 13 that we're looking at today, they are also called beasts in Scripture. Of course, they're not really beasts. They're just symbolized as beasts. Because outwardly, they're going to be very, very suave. Very, very sophisticated, okay? In Revelation 13, you got this guy, who we've already talked about as the man of sin. Most people call him the Antichrist, but I actually believe that this man, his right-hand man, is the Antichrist. Because the same apostle that wrote Revelation, that apostle wrote 1 John, and John said, just as the capital A Antichrist is coming, there are already many false prophets. Is this the false prophet or is this the false prophet? This guy is. And by the way, it's very possible that this man here is a Gentile because it says he's from Assyria in the book of Micah. This man may very well be Jewish, which Satan would be very, very suave and sophisticated and come off as looking very very intelligent to put a Gentile and a Jew together to solve. They're going to run the whole world. Think about that, what that's going to do to deal with the Arab-Israeli issue. Well, in the last 3.5 years, this man's going to come to power. Remember, he gets assassinated, but a demon comes out of the bottomless pit, indwells him, and raises him from the dead. And he marvels. He makes the whole world marvel. And then as soon as he rises from the dead, now empowered by Satan, he goes over and kills God's two men, two witnesses, the two Jewish witnesses that have been preaching for 3.5 years. So he does something that no one has been able to do in 3.5 years. And then he goes into the temple in Israel and he says, I am who? God. I am God. I took out that lowly deity, Jehovah, his two witnesses that brought so much pain and suffering on this earth. I'm going to bring paradise to planet Earth. And he tricks the whole world. But he says he's God. And guess what? From time immortal, people that are like people that start religions, they always like to have a religious man at their side singing their praises. They like to have somebody at their right hand. And so, like I said, is it 100% sure that we know it's going to be a Gentile and a Jew? Well, not 100%, but it's very likely. Because, for instance, he's called in Revelation 13 the beast out of the sea. Okay, the sea is a picture of Gentile, the Gentile world. And he's called the beast out of the land. And by the way, that word land there is the word that's used in the Bible many, many places about the land of Israel, the beast out of the land. So it could very well be. It would be ingenious, in my estimation, to do that. So what do we learn? We're going to concentrate really today. The last time I did this many, many years ago, I actually did two separate messages. I'm going to combine them and just give you 5 simple points. Okay? I'm going to talk about the man of sin, the beast out of the sea, mostly today. But at the end, we'll talk about this other beast. Okay? We'll do the entire chapter of Revelation 13, not touching on every single point. But we'll get the crux of it. So what do we learn about this beast, this political beast? The one that Daniel says is going to be able to speak just amazingly to the human race. Okay, 5 qualities here. This man is going to come out of nowhere. He's going to appear swiftly, violently, and powerfully. You say, Pastor Bob, where do you get that? Well, I'll show you in just a second. John says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. By the way, last week we saw a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Who did that beast symbolize? Think about it. He was called the dragon. Who did he symbolize? Satan, right? Satan had 7 heads and 10 horns in John's vision. Okay? Interesting. This guy is just like him. And as I said last week, the reason for that is, having 7 heads and 10 horns, is because this man's kingdom is essentially Satan's kingdom. 3.5 years before Jesus returns, Satan was cast to planet Earth. We saw last week in chapter 12, Satan was cast to planet Earth. He was very angry, and he says he has but a short time, and so he just goes berserk. And he says, I'm going to pull out all the stops. And so he indwells this human being, the beast out of the man. We call him the man of sin, the son of perdition. Some people call him the Antichrist. Again, I don't typically like to call him that because I really do think the other man is the Antichrist, the religious man, not the political man. Okay, so what do we got here? This beast is going to appear swiftly. Where do I get that from? Okay, let's look at that. Where do I get that from? He's going to appear swiftly. Well, it says here he's going to be like, this beast was like a lion, John said. His feet were like the feet of a bear. There's violence. Leopard, swiftly. Bear, violence. Lion, he had the mouth of a lion, power. Hey, when a lion roars, is it like your cat meowing? No, when the lion roars and goes, and go, you know, man, I mean, it'll knock you off your feet. By the way, those three animals were in the book of Daniel, and they represented in Daniel's time and in that era of ancient history, they represented the three world powers. Let me see if I can remember. The swiftness was the leopard. That was Alexander the Great. How fast he took over the empire, the Greek empire, the Grecian empire that ruled the world. The bear would have represented, let's see, you've got Babylon. Babylon is the lion, I believe. And the bear, Greece, that's the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians, violence. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, power. And this man's going to be all three rolled into one. Think about that. He's swift, he's violent, and he's powerful. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 talks about this man. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Did you see that? Did you see that? So this man is going to be very, very, you know, he gets world power nearly instantly. How? By killing those two men that brought plagues on planet Earth for 3.5 years. Nobody could kill those prophets of God. He did it in a second after he was indwelt by the devil. He took them out. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan takes out God's men. God allows it. And so this guy gets worldwide acclaim. People start saying, as we see here in Revelation 13, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war against him? Who's like him? Nobody, because this is a unique man in history. Okay, that's number one. What about lesson number two about this beast? He acquires his authority and power only with Satan's help. I mean, that's almost self-evident. Okay, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit. But let's read about it here in Revelation 13. The dragon, Satan, Revelation 12, gave him his power, his throne. See, he had political power as well, not just military power. He has political power because he has a throne and great authority. I guess so. Man, he's going to rule over the whole earth. And I saw one of his heads. Hey, by the way, let me throw this out there. I should have said this earlier. In the book of Daniel, you could read about this man, Daniel chapter, well, in several places, but primarily in Daniel chapter 11. He starts off during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation as a Middle Eastern king slash despot. He's like going around and he's conquering smaller countries. The Bible says he goes to Egypt and attacks Egypt, and he gets all of the gold and silver of Egypt, the book of Daniel says. He attacks the Sudan. He takes control of that country. He attacks Ethiopia. And he attacks Libya, I believe. But anyway, there's three main countries that he is able to get control of during the first 3.5 years. But in the middle is when he swiftly comes on the scene in a worldwide way and takes over the world. Okay, so he's going to acquire his authority with only Satan's help and power. Verse 3 says, I saw one of his heads. Remember he had seven heads? I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. That's what I was referencing earlier. In the middle of the tribulation, he's assassinated, but he rises from the dead. You know, probably what's going on TV, like on the news channel, CNN and so on. They've got him in the hospital. They're saying he's in critical condition. They have him in ICU. He's on a ventilator. They're keeping him alive, but he's not expected to live. Okay, you got that, you know, you get that idea. And then he dies. Okay, and it's announced all over the world. He's lost his life. You say, hey, Pastor Bob, wait a minute. How do you know he died? How do you know he just didn't? How do you know that he didn't get really sick? Well, because the very same words in Revelation that are used, that Jesus was the lamb slaughtered, that's the same word that's used of him. He was slaughtered. By the way, Jesus didn't just swoon. He actually died physically. This man will actually die physically. Satan will raise him from the dead. And that's why all the world marvels. Because one minute, CNN's saying he's died. The next minute, they show him walking out of the hospital on live TV. And the whole world is mesmerized. Hey, by the way, it could be even so impressive as something like he dies, they have his funeral. Who knows if it, I'm just taking a guess here. What if they're doing his funeral and, you know, they show his body laying there on television and he gets up out of the casket? Think about that. That would really be, I mean, that would go around the world. Okay, so that's number two. He's got power, but he gets all of his power from the enemy, from Satan, the enemy of God. Okay, just a few more. Number three. He's not only going to acquire his authority with Satan's help, but he's going to attain the admiration, obedience, and worship of mankind. I've already talked about this. It says there in verse 3, and all the world, notice what I have underlined, all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, they worshiped Satan, and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. Now, look, I don't think, and I'm taking a guess here, I don't think that these people are going to become Satan worshipers. This is going to be very sophisticated, everybody. I think what's going to happen is that that beast may go on, and he's going to say, the deity of Jehovah's the deity of the God that Jehovah's two witnesses preached is a farce. I am the true God and the God that I serve. You know, they'll have this kind of like maybe his God is his father and I'm his son, but we're both God, okay, that kind of thing. Okay, think about this. He's going to be worshipped, the dragon's going to be worshipped, but he's not going to call him Lucifer. My God is Lucifer. No, that wouldn't go over well with the people in the world. But he's going to be very sophisticated. He'd say, my God, and he might have a name for it. He might say the name. You know, he might call him the light bearer. Remember, Satan is an angel of darkness who transforms himself into an angel of light. Maybe he'll say, my God, the great light bearer. Now, that's a lot better than Lucifer, right? People can handle light bearer or something like that. Okay, so they worshiped the beast. They marveled at the beast. They followed the beast and they worshiped him, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war against him? All right, so here's what I want to say here, everybody. Under number two, you remember what he said? We said we got all of his power from Satan. Remember that? What did Satan try to do with Jesus? Satan tried to offer Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He said, listen, I'll give you the whole earth. You could rule over the whole earth if you'll just bow down and worship me. It's been given to me, Satan said. Satan said to Jesus in one of the Gospels, it's been given to me to give to whoever I want to. Interesting. Jesus rejected that. He says, get behind me, Satan. But he accepts it. And he gets the kingdoms of the world for three and a half, or he gets all the kingdoms on earth. But get this, everybody, he only gets them for 3.5 years. And there's a lesson there for you and I, a practical lesson. Satan will do good things for people, but they're very temporary. There's a lot of pleasure doing thus and such. Or there's a lot of adrenaline flow from robbing a bank and getting rich without having to work. You know, Satan will give you, but he only shows you the front of the house. He doesn't show you the junkyard in the back. Satan said, yeah, I'll give you the whole earth. But guess what? He only got it for 3.5 years. And then he got cast alive into the lake of fire. He didn't even die. Jesus said, take angels, come and get him. Get him and the false prophet. We're going to see this later in Revelation 20. Take him and throw him alive. They get cast alive into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Wow. So here's what I'll say. The lesson to you and I is this. Don't ever forget. Satan as the deceiver, Satan as the liar, he comes to you and I and tells you, yeah, I know and you know what the Bible says, but just this one time. Just this one time. Yeah. And people get, he gives them pleasure for a moment, and then they, you know, like just this past week, this Republican guy had to resign because he was on the board of directors of this company, and he found out that their drug that they were trying to promote is going to go down the tubes. It didn't work. And a lot of people were going to lose money. Well, he gets on the phone and he calls his son. Son, sell all your stock. That's illegal. And so now, just one thing, and now he's got to resign from the Congress or the Senate or wherever he's a senator or a congressman. You know what I'm saying? Guy's been his whole life been doing this. Just Satan is very subtle, and so we got to be very careful. Okay, what about number four? So we talked about Satan helps him acquire his authority. The world worship and adores him. Here's another word that starts with A. This beast, this the man of sin, the end time world political ruler, his aim will be to accomplish several malicious or evil objectives, several evil goals, as it were, okay? The first one, as you can see, it's in red, so it's harder to see a little bit. I wanted to set it off. The first thing he's going to do with his power is he's going to defame God's character, okay? When he gets up and talk, his mouth is full of blasphemy. Blasphemy is a fancy word for basically insulting and derogatory speech. When you blaspheme God, like a person, you know, if you go on the internet, there's people going on there because the Bible says if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're eternally condemned. So all these young people get on there one after another on the internet and they go, I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit right now, acting crazy, right? And acting and saying they're blaspheming him because they're joking. Aha, now I'm going to hell. Ha, ha, ha. And they do that. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, everybody? Well, this is what this man's doing. He's defaming, he's blaspheming God's character. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. That's his character. A person's name is their reputation. It's their character. To blaspheme his name, his temple or his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Okay? So boy, he's just cutting loose. He's telling the whole world, You remember that Jesus that these two prophets preach? You remember the Jehovah God they worship? You remember that? And you know, he's going on and he's blaspheming. What did he do to the earth? Nothing. He killed your relatives. He killed your co-workers. That God is evil. And you know, he's just going to be letting it rip. That's first thing he does. What's the next one? Letter B. Another evil objective he has is to destroy God's people. Verse 5. He was given, and I have here, and I have a line through it. He was given authority to continue. Okay, now here is where they have a little difference in Greek manuscripts. And the second one is more correct. They translated it from a certain manuscript that says the beast was given authority to continue. It's actually power to make war. He was given power to make war. All right, there are some manuscripts that are just a little bit different than others. But the second one that we have here is actually, in brackets, is actually a better translation of this because it says right here, power to make war. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Oh my goodness. Wow. This guy's going to have some power. So not only is he going to be blaspheming the God we serve in heaven, he's going to make war with the saints and get the victory over them. Go to Revelation 20. It says, I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their witness for Christ. Have we not seen this in recent years in the Middle East, everyone? The sword being brought across people's heads? Yeah, and it's going to get really bad. Because don't forget, the beast, the man of sin, is an Arab. He's an Assyrian. He's going to have no qualms with bringing Christians and just decapitating them with a sword. And it says Revelation 20, verse 4 is clear. I saw the souls of those, John said, I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their testimony for Christ. It's going to get really bad in the end times. Okay? So he's going to blaspheme God. He's going to defame God's character. He's going to destroy God's people. And, of course, here's the whole crux of this day. He's going to deceive the godless. He's going to destroy. He's going to desecrate God's character. He's going to destroy God's people, and he's going to deceive unbelievers, the godless. Authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, slain from the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So he's out to dupe, to deceive, to destroy, to blaspheme. He's going full. Satan has been sent to earth, cast out of heaven, and he's angry because he knows he has a short time, and this man is not going. And you say, Pastor Bob, why is he killing all these Christians at the end? Simple, and I've told you this. He's going to say in a very sophisticated and suave way, he's going to say something like this. He's going to say, I thought that we could make a deal with them somehow. I thought that I could talk to them face to face. But you know what? They won't quit saying that Jesus is God and that Jesus is coming soon, that Jesus is going to come back in 3.5 years. They won't quit doing it. They're ruining planet Earth. And in a very, very, very intellectual and very deceptive way, he's going to get people on earth to agree with him that whoever's following Jesus or his father, Jehovah, has to be annihilated. Listen, they almost did it to the Jews that were on earth. The Jewish nation's been wiped out nearly, 2/3 of them were wiped out at in the Holocaust. So it's going to be a very, very awful time. Okay, what can we take away from that? Well, I'll tell you what we can take away. We got to remember that you and I, we're not in a battle against one another. We're fighting against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age. You're battling them? You say, Pastor Bob, that's your job. If it was only that easy, wouldn't you love to hear me say that? Listen, I'll take care of the devil. You just enjoy your life, okay? Doesn't work that way. Satan has got his laser beam set on all of you, and he is basically, whatever way he can do it, he's going to try to take you out. It might be by immorality. It might be by theft, deception, robbery, you name it. He can trick people into doing something they think, nobody will know, and it'll be done. Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden they're getting carted off to jail or whatever. We've got to be really, really, really on guard, everybody. Okay? Okay, last one. I gave you the first four. Okay? This also begins with A. This beast, and this is where we're going to talk about the false prophet, about his right-hand man, will appoint a false prophet to assist him in deceiving mankind. This is so interesting. Throughout history, nearly every religious movement has found it necessary to have its own prophet. It's probably because the true religion in the Bible is prophetic in nature. Okay? God's word had prophets. Okay? It's the same thing that happened. Hey, listen, everybody. When in the early days of the church, they began to believe bad teaching, they started, instead of just taking the Bible as God's word, they began to believe, okay, like I'll give you for instance, they started to believe that Israel was no longer Israel, and now the church of Jesus is Israel. The church. What did that do? Huh. Well, if the church is the new Israel, and God's through with Israel, they're in the dustbin of history. Well, Israel had priests. Maybe we should have priests. And Israel had sacrifices, so maybe we should have a ceremony where we sacrifice every week. You get where I'm going? Where did Catholicism come from? It came from in the 300s and 400s from people saying, well, we should be like Israel. You got a priesthood. You got a hierarchy. You have these special, not everybody can have access to God. You got special people. You've got a priest. You've got a high priest. Oh, a high priest. You mean there's just not little regular priests down here in local churches? You got one big tamale that's the priest over every... You know where I'm going with that? Yeah. You have to have a pope because Israel had a high priest. They say, oh, we'll need a pope. And so they just copied ancient Israel's religion and came up with their own. And it was the devil deceiving people. Because not only that, you got the work salvation with it. You got to earn your salvation. You got to earn your way to God, which is of the devil. Okay? I didn't mean to go on that, but anyway, let me finish this up. Okay? Let's just talk about these 3 points and we'll be done. First, the false prophet is going to assist the man of sin with deceptive words and worship. He's a liar, like his father, the devil. He's a liar, and he's going to deceive people with lies and with false worship. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Another beast. This is a symbolical, not a real beast, but symbolizing a very horrible person. You know, it's interesting. This is a religious guy, but the Bible calls him a beast. The Bible calls him a raging beast. In fact, that's the Greek word. It's like a destructive animal. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb. Oh, like a lamb. Does anybody else in the Bible know who was called a lamb? Like a lamb. And he spoke like a dragon. Oh, he had horns. He looked like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Hey, that's what the Bible says false prophets do. They look very meek and mild and godlike, but they speak Satan's words. They speak like a dragon. Verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth, listen to this, he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he is going to get the world to begin worshiping the beast. How does he do it? Well, first of all, he's got to get the world on his side. So he starts deceiving them with amazing miracles. That's what that says up there, with amazing miracles. Verses 13 through 15. This beast performs great signs, great miracles, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. There's that word deceive, when the whole world gets duped. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those miracles which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image, a statue. Oh, you know, it just seems like there's other religions that love to make statues and put them up. Okay, I won't go there anyway. Make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Okay, did you get that? To make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. There's the 2 miracles. They're underlined. He brought fire down. One of them was bringing fire down from heaven. And another one was making a statue that comes alive. Now, this isn't demon possession of a person like we see in the Bible. This is demon possession of an inanimate object. Okay? Demon possession of an inanimate object. He gives breath to the image of the beast. That the statue of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the statue to be killed. Holy moly. Do you think that kind of miraculous deception is going to get a hold of people's hearts? Yeah, but it's not over yet, everybody. It gets worse. Here it is, the last passage. This false prophet causes all. And again, that doesn't mean every single person. It just means most of the earth. He causes all, both small and great. That means no unknown and famous. He causes all, unknown and famous, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. John says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So he's not only going to deceive the world through these miracles, he's going to deceive the world with an ingenious mark. Unfortunately, and listen carefully, unfortunately, whoever takes that mark, the Bible says, is eternally condemned. People will have to have it to buy groceries, to sell their products all over the earth. Do you see how ingenious this is, this mark? This is ingenious because they are taking a lock on commerce. They're taking a lock on the economy of the whole world. And the two beasts, they dream up this plan through the devil, and they say, if they don't take my mark in their forehead or in their hand, we kill them. Whoever would not take the mark, it says, let's see, where is it there? No one can buy or sell except to him who has the mark. Okay, and then it says that people were executed because they would get caught out in public. Like maybe they're the preachers that are going out, or maybe they're people who have gotten saved through the 144,000, and they get caught and they don't have the mark, and they say, okay, take the mark. I'm not going to do it. What do you mean you're not going to do it? I'm not going to do it. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Whoosh! A lot of people will be martyrs. And the Bible tells us that in Revelation 20. I saw the souls who were martyred. All right? Okay, so what is the application? How do we take this home, everybody? How do we take this home? Okay, first I want to ask you this question. How carefully, everybody, how carefully are you listening to God? Think about that. How carefully are you listening to God? Maybe you're sitting there today saying, oh, but that wouldn't happen to me. I'm not that. Hey, listen. Satan is very, very subtle. He got a couple in the Garden of Eden who were innocent, who had never sinned before, to listen to him. People that walked personally with God in the garden in the cool of the morning. You know what? Rich Mullins wrote a song and it was called, You're Not As Strong As You Think You Are. None of us are. So we've got to be very, very careful. We've got to listen to God and we've got to be able to spot false teaching the minute you hear it or see it. You take a step back and say, hey, something's wrong with that. Maybe you don't know, but you say, that doesn't sound like what I know from the Bible, and you can come and ask me or ask other people, ask some of the elders. But listen, you need to be listening more to God to protect yourself from being deceived by the devil. Okay, that's the first application. Second one, okay, maybe you're here today, and listen carefully, maybe you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. Okay, maybe you're here and you just have never been able to understand the Christian gospel and you're hoping you'll be with God forever. Let me just tell you this. Just like these two men were able to deceive the whole world, Satan takes pleasure in deceiving people about their eternal destiny. Okay? He wants to keep people in the dark. See, God is light. And the gospel is the light of God, and we are the light of God. We take the good deeds and the good news to people, and they see something different in us. But you know what Satan's doing all the time? He's going over to the wall, and he's grabbing the dimmer switch, 2 Corinthians 4 says. And he keeps pushing it down because he doesn't like the light shining. You don't put your light under a bushel basket. You put it up on a lampstand. You put it up high where it'll light everything up in the house. Satan says, no, you don't. And he'll try to get you to follow the darkness of this world because he doesn't want you shining brightly. You see, we could take away so many things from this chapter, but I'm just going to leave two there. For the saved people, have you been listening carefully to God? And for those of you who are not sure you're saved, if you're here today and you would say, well, I'm pretty sure, I'm like 95% sure. Listen, I wouldn't live one day. Listen, if somebody came to me and said, Pastor Bob, I'll give you $5 million if for 24 hours you will become an unbeliever. I wouldn't take 5 million, I wouldn't take 50 million, I wouldn't take 500 million, and I wouldn't take 5 billion, because we don't know two things. If I suddenly, it's impossible for me to do, I can't give back my eternal life. But if somebody tried to bribe me to do that, it's not possible. What if I died during that 24 hours and I was an unbeliever? What if Jesus returned during that 24 hours? See, that's why I'm saying being 95% sure is not good enough. Do you get me? Or just hoping you'll go, I just hope I'll be with God. I hope I'll be in a splendid place when I die. No, the Bible said, Jesus said, do not be amazed, I'm telling you, that you must be born again, or born from above. You've had an earthly birth. You've been brought into this world physically. Now, to get ready when you leave this world, you need to get ready spiritually and have a heavenly birth. You must be born again. Not physically, spiritually. So let me just say this, as just before I pray. If any of you need to talk to me after church, maybe there's one, maybe there's two, maybe there's five of you, and you'd say, Pastor Bob, hey, would you take 5 or 10 minutes and show me how I could be 100% sure that I'll go to heaven when I die? I'll be right out here in the hallway. Would you just find me out there and just let me know? Say, hey, Bob, can we talk about heaven? Can we talk about salvation? Sure, let's do that. Don't wait, because none of us, hey, how many of you know that you'll still be alive Monday night at 5 o'clock p.m.? No, none of us know that. We could get in a car wreck. You know, something terrible could happen. You could be caught in crossfire of guns blazing somewhere. I mean, crazy things happen. We don't know. What I'm saying is, don't make the mistake of letting the enemy of your soul make you think that you have plenty of time, because we just don't know. Jesus could come today, and guess what? If Jesus came today and you're not saved, you would have to go through that 7 years of horror on earth that we've been talking a little bit about this morning. All right, so after I pray, if you want to talk about, man, I'll be happy to take God's word and show you exactly what it says. So if you're like only 95% sure or not sure at all, you could leave here and say, man, I am so glad I talked to Pastor Bob. I know 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. Everybody should have that in this room. Everybody should have that. There shouldn't be anybody that doesn't know 100% sure that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life we just read about, slain from the foundation of the world. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for this time in your word. I just pray for your people. I pray, Lord, for those that are believers.